you share with us. This opportunity to engage implementing partners in this way and talk a little bit about the different aspects of the procurement process, as well as some relevant transformations that we're undertaking here at the agency. As some of you know, one of the major milestones in the transformation is the acquisition and assistance strategy. The A&A strategy was released at the end of last year, and it will clearly have great influence on how USAID does business moving forward. As I think you're likely aware as well, it was developed around the external and internal listening tours last year, as well as agency priorities. To tell you a little bit more about the strategy and the updates in that regard, I'm going to turn it over to Randy. And as many of you know, he's the senior champion leader on this EPPR, Effective Partnering and Procurement Reform, and appreciate the updates on the A&A strategy and implementation.
Thank you, Mark. So welcome, everybody. And if you have not had a chance to read our new acquisition and assistance strategy, I would encourage you to take a look at it. You can find it on our website under How to Work with USAID. It was announced by the administrator in early December and a couple of times since. The new A&A strategy outlines five guiding principles of partnering at USAID. These guiding principles were developed through our engagements with agency staff as well as you, our partner community. The first principle is the need for USAID to diversify its partner base. Since 2011, we've seen an annual decrease in the number of new partners working with the agency. And over the last two fiscal years, just 25 partners received more than 60% of the agency's funding. So we want to diversify who we partner with. Our strategy talks about engaging with new and underutilized partners, such as community and faith-based organizations, small businesses, local and locally established partners, universities, and others. To support our efforts to bring in more new partners, the agency will be launching a new partnerships initiative in the coming weeks. And a note on the first iteration led by the DACHA Bureau, the Democracy, Conflict, and Humanitarian Affairs Bureau, is already posted on the business forecast. The second principle looks at how we partner. The agency has a variety of approaches to partnering, but we use too few of them. We want to diversify our partnering approaches using more types of solicitation approaches and awards, and to shift from merely transactional relationships to achieving a real shared sense of success and accountability. Included in this principle is the agency's goal of increasing its use of collaborative approaches to partnering. The third principle looks at how we can connect our design, procurement, and implementation approaches. We know that it often takes the agency too long to design and make awards. We want to streamline how we work, become less prescriptive, and focus on more adaptive approaches to awards and project management. The fourth principle is what we call focus on value. This section of our strategy looks at how we standardize practices, strengthen the role of our contracting and agreement officer representatives, the COR-AOR role, and elevate the use of past performance. We also are looking, of course, at category management that we'll hear more about in a few minutes. The final principle looks at the agency's A&A workforce, enabling and equipping them to more effectively do their jobs. And this is one of the critical priorities we're seeking to address in the coming few years. Supporting our A&A strategy is a series of recommendations that help us begin to implement our guiding principles. Many of you on this call provided feedback on these recommendations. We're currently in the process of reviewing your feedback, and from your feedback, as well as internal agency feedback, we will be prioritizing these recommendations into an implementation plan in the coming days. So we look forward to continuing to work with you in our efforts to improve how we do business. And now I'll turn it back over to Mark.
Thanks, Randy. Really appreciate the update. And we really are closely aligned, all the synergies around the agency in regard to the A&A strategy and the forthcoming implementation plan. Whether it's co-creation processes, the use of different collaborative approaches, or expanding the partner base and engaging the public and private sectors, there's a lot of activity that has been going on in these areas, and we will continue to expand and build upon them. There are a couple of other things I wanted to touch upon before moving on to category management and the small business engagement and utilization. As most of you I know are aware, there was the lapse in government appropriations, that the 35-day shutdown. During that time, much of the ANA activities in Washington in the field slowed significantly, except for critical priority-related actions. We realized that there were impacts to our partners. We were especially aware of the institutional support type contract mechanisms being the most visible as for the offices here in Washington. I'd like to note that we will be reaching out to the contracting community on any suggestions or lessons learned they had on the partner side in regard to the lapse in appropriation and the shutdown. So stay tuned for that. I'll be sending something out to get any input you'd like to share with us. Separately, there was also a natural impact on the business forecast as a number of actions were stalled or not updated during that period of time. I'd also like to note that the business forecast itself has been shifting to a new platform, which is geared to make it easier for our ANA colleagues here to update it in the future. Naturally, the hope being the more functionality we can introduce in the forecast, the more ultimately powerful and useful the tool will be to you as well in our partner community. So please stay tuned for further enhancements on that front. I also want to mention, with the release of the ANA strategy and the EPPR recommendations, we'll be hosting a worldwide EPPR summit and workshop this May 6th through 10th, here in the Washington metropolitan area. Nearly every contracting and agreement officer in the agency from both our missions and Washington's will be gathering for that week. It'll be intensive training and hands-on experience around the concepts and these reform initiatives. Our chief financial office, as well as overseas controllers, will be joining as well. It'll be the first time in 5 years that we've all come together as a group, so we're very excited about that and look forward to some meaningful and positive learning that'll come and that we'll take back to the field, and robust implementation throughout the agency. One of the conference highlights will be a partner engagement session. That's geared to happen on the second day of the conference, and we'll be coordinating invitations through the main partner associations such as PSC, CIDC, Interaction, SID Washington, Umentum, and SBAIC. So again, we look forward to that opportunity, and very excited that we can have a partner engagement component as well. As you might know or imagine, there's a whole suite of topics we're going to be discussing during that week. Will be category management that Deb Roderick has been leading through the last year. And as you might recall, category management is an agency priority goal, as well as the collaborative approaches and practices we take and the EPPR effort. So I'm going to turn it over to Deb now, and really appreciate all her past and continued efforts on this front.
Well, thanks, Mark. So with regards to category management, we are tracking our progress towards the spend under management and best-in-class goals, and we're doing well so far in 2019. OASIS is, for both large and small businesses, is getting a lot of attention because it offers more flexibility. Most notably, it streamlines FAR Part 16.5 ordering procedures and permits cost reimbursement contracts. Our staff has found that the GSA staff that is responsible for OASIS is very responsive and helpful in assisting us to use these vehicles. So once again, my recommendation for both large and small implementing partners is to do all you can to join the OASIS IDIQ contracts. It's certainly picking up a lot of momentum, I think, across the government and in USAID as well. And now I'll turn it over to Kimberly Ball, Deputy Director for the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization, for an update. Oh, sorry.
Hi, everyone.
That's not Kimberly.
Hi, everyone. I'm Harry Parker, and I'm representing Kimberly on this call, representing OSDBU overall. And I offer thanks to Deb, Randy, and Mark for their positive interdepartmental collaboration with OSDBU. OSDBU is very excited about the agency's commitment to expanding the partner base. We know that there are a number of U.S. small businesses who support the agency's work and would like greater opportunity to do so. We are also hosting a conference in May. The agency's 12th annual small business conference will be held on May the 14th at the JW Marriott in D.C. Please save the date. Registration will be open in early April. We believe we have put together a great program for you, and it's a great opportunity to engage USAID staff and potential business partners. Before the 12th ASBC, we have a number of events in the first week of April. On April the 2nd, we are hosting a vendor outreach session focused on EPPR. Thanks again to Randy, Deb, and Mark for your support and participation. On April the 4th and 5th, we are supporting pre-solicitation conferences for the Building Resilient and Inclusive Communities in Conflict and Economic Reform Activity solicitations. Each of these activities is being awarded out of USAID Jordan. Details about these events have been posted on FBO. Finally, I'd like to announce USAID's small business goals for FY 2019. The agency's FY 2019 prime small business goal is 12.5%, and the subcontracting goal is 15.5%. The socioeconomic program's prime and subcontracting goals are small disadvantaged business 5%, women-owned 5%, service-disabled veteran-owned 3%, and historically underutilized business zone 3%. We look forward to supporting small business and supporting the agency overall. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Harry. Appreciate that. Thanks for stepping in. Now with the time that we have left, we're going to answer some of the general questions that came in for the business forecast. So the first question is a general question, and it's for you, Mark. Can USAID discuss what impact, if any, the recent government shutdown may have had or will have on USAID Washington and USAID Mission's FY 2019 procurement goals and schedule for release of new opportunities?
Thanks, Jeff. Naturally, there's some impact in regard to catching up on timeline and schedules, especially trying to prioritize the most immediate needs coming out of the shutdown. There's clearly robust activities going forward since that time, and we expect continued increases to workload and updated opportunities. In addition to prioritizing immediate funding needs and administrative approvals, there's been a large number of upcoming competitive actions moving through the SOAR review process. That's the internal agency senior leadership reviews of competitive activities, and that has been peaking over the last several weeks. So we definitely have a lot going on, and we know there's a lot more to come throughout the spring and summer. So thanks.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, Harry, next one's for you. It's a small business question. Can USAID share the countries that have small business targets for 2019, and can you share those target percentages?
Just a moment ago, I mentioned the overall agency small business and subcontracting goals. And in order to reach these goals, OSDBU negotiates with our bureaus, independent offices, and missions with obligations in excess of $5 million. With the missions, we took a phased approach, starting with 16 missions in FY 2018. We have not finalized the list of additional missions for the fiscal year 2019 phase of the Mission Small Business Goaling Program. We were unfortunately slowed down by the lapse in appropriations as well as by deteriorating security situation in countries we had proposed to participate in the program. I'd like to remind you that there are still regional goals for missions where their specific goal has not yet been finalized. We're hopeful that we'll finalize negotiations soon, and we remain confident that we will have all missions that meet the criteria on board by FY 2020. I hope you find this information helpful.
Great. Thank you, Harry. The next question is a category management question. So, Deb, you're up. Can USAID clarify its category management targets for 2019? And can you share any intended use of OASIS this year, particularly as OASIS Pool 1 small business is currently held up in protest?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. For our category management targets include increasing the best-in-class spend to 40% of addressable spend, or 84.7 million. So that's just addressable spend. In other words, addressable is everything that matches a NAICS and PSC code. So that's different than our total spend, which is what we use for the spend under management. And the spend under management goal is to increase it to 75% or $3.7 billion. So there are no specific targets set by USAID regarding selection of a specific best-in-class solution. As USAID has and continues to leverage OASIS and OASIS Small Business, it is likely that they will be continued to be considered in the future. I mean, they're more than just being considered. So the question on the protest, so I put this question to GSA, and I'm going to read to you what the response that I got from GSA. As we know, this protest only applies to small business on-ramp, and it doesn't affect small business awardees. The on-ramp is essentially an open season during which intended industry partners may submit proposals to be added to the program. That's all the information that I have, and as more information comes available, I will share that with you. And that's pretty much the update that I have on that. Hope that's helpful.
Great. Thank you. The next question is a business forecast question for Mark. As more solicitations seem to be geared towards local organizations only as a prime, would USAID consider a searchable field noting that a particular opportunity is restricted to local organizations, similar to the small business set-aside field?
Thanks, Jeff. We certainly can explore that possibility, and we very much welcome these type of suggestions. So we'll definitely look into that. I would ask the community, though, to be mindful, you know, depending on the activity, it doesn't necessarily mean that a local may not be considering sub-awards to U.S. organizations. So as we move forward in this area and explore trying to separate out activities selected for local organizations like we have done for U.S. small businesses, please keep that in mind as you're considering different activities.
Great. Thanks. The last question that we're going to deal with this morning is on selection of instrument. The question is, we're seeing various, quote, collaborative agreements opportunities in the forecast. Can USAID please provide further guidance on this contracting mechanism, its rationale for use, and how it differs from other mechanisms commonly used at USAID?
Thanks again, Jeff. I really appreciate the partner community raising this question and highlighting it. To be honest, I'll have to look and need to review this specific instances more fully to determine the context it is being referenced. The formal term collaboration agreement was developed when the agency initiated public-private alliances and launched the Global Development Alliance, GDA, over a decade ago. It was a new tool created at that time to reach out to non-traditional private sector partners. It historically wasn't used that much over the years. However, I really do need to take a look at the further current instances to see if it is being referenced in the context of private sector engagement or some other frame of reference. So, again, I appreciate the partner community highlighting that, and we'll look into that further and get back to you.
Great. Thank you for that, Mark. So that's just about it for today. As I mentioned before, we're working on completing the responses to the more than 300 questions that we received for the business forecast Q&A for Q2. We'll be posting those later on today on our website, and that is usa.gov/business-forecast. Mark, do you have any final words or comments?
No, and I just want to thank you all again for joining this call, and again, all the incoming questions. We really do appreciate that. As Jeff has indicated, and have we've done similarly in prior practices, we're going to post everything we have completed. There still may be some straggler questions that we're going to have to follow up on, but again, we welcome that. We appreciate the continued engagement, and any other suggestions on improvements and highlights and enhancement we can do to the business forecast, consideration of the reform efforts, category management, small U.S. small business topics, we always welcome them. So we appreciate the interest and your support. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mark, and thank you for everyone here for joining us, and thank you to everyone on the call. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next quarter. Thanks.